forward. Congratulations on that effort. But let's wear your veterans hat today. Not many people, including veterans, are really aware often how prevalent the local services are for them, are they?
You know, that's very true, Jim. A lot of veterans, they come home and they think of the VA as being there in Washington, D.C. somewhere, not really aware of all the services that are available to them. As a member of the American Legion and the adjutant for the Walworth Town, Town of Walworth American Legion Post 102, the Ingalls Kepin Post, which services the villages of Walworth, Fontana, and Williams Bay, right here in good old southern Wisconsin, right around Lake Geneva, it was surprising to me how many veterans aren't aware that there's offices right here for them to help them out with dealing with the VA, both the VA Benefits Administration and the VA healthcare system.
What is the, and you're situated in Elkhorn, in the old county offices downtown on the square. What is the typical situation that you hear every day when you're in your office there and veterans find their way to you?
Well, Jim, we service around 8,000 veterans in Walworth County, and then also their spouses and children. And so we're at around 20,000 people or so come through our office at one point or another. So, you know, we have such a gamut here. We have from World War II veterans all the way to the current conflict veterans. And you never know what you're going to get each day. Someone new comes through the door quite often. So a lot of Vietnam veterans are starting to avail themselves of the benefits that they earned for their time in Vietnam serving our country. And so I particularly like dealing with these men and women. A lot of them, you know, they'll have something like type 2 diabetes, which is known to be linked to Agent Orange. And they'll think, well, I didn't get injured. I didn't get a Purple Heart. So how can that be a service-connected disability? And that's the mindset of many of these men and women. Well, I wasn't injured in war, therefore I'm not disabled. And the truth is, when they entered the service, the government presumed, the people of America signed a contract with them and said, you are perfectly healthy. And for all those old Army War and Marine Corps vets out there, you remember walking, doing a duck walk naked with 500 of your closest friends, proving to the Army doctor that you were healthy.
Right.
Jim, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about with the Navy doctor at Great Lakes. Go ahead.
So at the end of that exam, they said, boom, 1A, you're ready to serve. And the American people said, when you come home, you'll be in that same condition, or we'll compensate you for anything that's changed, or you or your loved ones. And so Agent Orange is one of the big problems that our Vietnam veterans faced. The VA, the United States government, now concedes Agent Orange exposure for all Vietnam veterans who actually stepped foot in Vietnam or served on boats in the inland waterways of Vietnam. And so there are several presumptive diseases, where type 2 diabetes being one of them, where if a Vietnam veteran who served in Vietnam is diagnosed with diabetes, type 2 diabetes, adult onset diabetes, diabetes mellitus type 2, get all the different words out there for it, then it's presumed that Agent Orange caused that, and therefore that veteran is considered to have a service-connected disability. All they need to do is come to the Walworth County Veteran Service Office so we can file a claim with the VA, and then we can start the process of making sure that they're properly compensated.
So there's compensation involved, and then also help with your medical expenses as well?
Yes. All veterans who have a service-connected disability are able to use the VA healthcare system. Not only that, all veterans from the current conflict, Afghanistan or Iraq and other imminent danger pay areas, they have a 5-year period from when they last came home, actually when they separated from service, to be able to use VA health care. And then all Vietnam veterans, regardless of how long it's been, if they served in Vietnam, then they have access to VA health care as well.
Technically, I guess your appearance here couldn't be better, because we've just, I think, ended, and locally as well, participation in Afghanistan. And the global war on terror is still much in the headlines in terms of, I know our friends in France feel that. Now comes your end of the job. Recently separated, long time, concerns, whatever. What is the first step to get into the system?
Well, making sure you have your paperwork from your, particularly the DD form, the Department of Defense form 214, the DD 214. That is the ticket into the system. It is the an honorable or other than dishonorable discharge. With that form is the gateway to determining what benefits each veteran is available for that person, what they've earned. And so a veteran who enlisted in the Army Reserve and spent their 6 years in active reserve and 2 years in inactive reserve, there are a few great benefits that they've earned. The Wisconsin GI Bill, the federal GI Bill, with Chapter 1606 and 1607. There are several different chapters to the GI Bill. But if they were deployed, after coming back from their basic training and MOS training, their initial entry training, if they then deployed overseas in support of Operation Enduring Freedom or Operation Iraqi Freedom or Operation New Dawn, then another whole group of benefits comes available to them. And it's all there on the DD Form 214. And so I need that form from you. Please don't lose it. Matter of fact, bring it to the old courthouse. Bring it to the Walworth County Government Center, and we will get it registered with the Walworth County Register of Deeds, so that we can always have an official copy.
Typically, when you step off of what they used to call the Freedom Bird, I think in Vietnam days, but when you're home and you've had your helm coming and taken down the yellow ribbons or whatever, is a veteran presented with that DD 214 as part of their out processing papers?
Counseled by your leadership and by the little old lady in tennis shoes who was typing it out to take good care of this document, that DD Form 214, you will know what it is. If you're a veteran, you know what it is, and hopefully you haven't lost it. And if you have, don't worry. Come see me there at 100 West Walworth Street in Elkhorn, and we'll order a copy for you from the National Personnel Records Center.
There's a lot of people who, as they get into their older years, for the first time think about medical care and have never thought that they were eligible for service, whether they be paupers or millionaires, that they can get prescriptions at the local VA hospital or the Navy Medical Center. What if you haven't seen your records in 40, 50, 60 years? You have no idea where they're at. How do you go about finding them?
Well, definitely come see me at the Walworth County Veterans Services office. We've actually seen this before. Veterans will come in and say, I just haven't seen my DD 214 in 40 years. And I'll say, let's see. And I'll type their name into our database, and lo and behold, they had it registered with the county 40 years ago, and they just totally forgot about it, because it's not one of those things you think about every day. I know I put my car keys down where I'm not supposed to and forget about it. I couldn't tell you where they're at. My wife has a nice little hook where I put them every night. Otherwise, every morning there's a disaster if I don't. So I can't imagine filing away a piece of paper and 40 years later trying to remember where it's at. Fortunately, I don't have to remember, because I brought it up to the county offices and had it recorded. It's there. And so that's the number one thing, is making sure it's recorded there. Number two, Wisconsin has a wonderful system. The state of Wisconsin's, the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, has done a pretty good job of collecting and recording veterans' discharge paperwork from the Department of Defense. And they have a wonderful database system that I can get into and request a copy of the discharge paperwork. And then another great resource is the National Personnel Records Center in St. Louis, Missouri, where they keep every scrap of paper that was ever filled out on Jim McClure or Nate Bond or any other veteran, it's there. It's there somewhere in the, you know, that Indiana Jones. But it's there. And typically within 90 days, we can get a copy of the veterans' records.
This is that point, Nate, where you recognize from our previous shows where I take over the microphone and just talk for a minute on some weird personal reflection. I was among those veterans, limited veterans, who was told it probably wasn't there. I mean, there are certain urban myths that pop up. Mm-hmm. The 1973 fire is one of them. You give your insights on the 1973 fire, and I'll tell you a little from my experience, mm-hmm. where I finally went to see all this for myself.
Yes, the 1973 fire. Lots of veterans just assume that because they got out before 73 that their records were destroyed. Truly, it was actually only Army veterans with last names between A and, I believe, W. So, yes, quite a few.
Yeah.
But a lot of Army veterans lost their records. But
if your name was Ziskowitz, you're
good to go. It's there. But even those records, a lot of them have been reproduced because, yes, the National Personnel Records Center had a fire, but Department of the Army records didn't have a fire. And so they were able to try to match and find and scavenge a lot of county registrars of deeds had DD-214s available. Old draft board notes were available. So that's one of the things I love doing about my job is when I look at these discharge papers, I can see things, their draft board 1A, you know, and or 1B or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever their rating was. And
right.
And then to see, we had a World War II veteran that came in and I saw just campaign, North Africa, Anzio. Wow, it was just
a history map.
It was like this man was in every major campaign in the European theater of operations. It was just amazing. And if you had asked him, he would have told you, oh, you know, I didn't do anything special. Oh, my goodness. Yes, you did. Yes, they were truly the greatest generation. And it's neat to be able to meet some of those men and women now, too.
You and I both fortunate, I think, to be sons of that generation. I was in 2002. I had enough fire excuses that I said, okay, I'm going down to St. Louis. My dad being my dad said, well, I'm going with you. So here you have this this creaky 41-year-old and less than creaky 81-year-old, 85-year-old both going down on this journey, and we arrived at the great National Personnel Military Records Center. Two things struck me. First of all, at the entrance at that time was about a 1982 computer.
Yes.
I mean, just the carrot would blink on about every 3 seconds. But darned if I didn't enter my name, and boom, there I popped.
Yes.
So that was the first record. I remember I had tears in my eyes because I had heard for a month or two from different ill-informed sources. Nah, nothing's there. And so I had him do the old dot matrix printout, and to this day I still hold. Hey, look, I'm one name on a list. Didn't have any information, but it listed, you know, when I started in '78, and there was an N for Navy ROTC, and then we went back with my dad to the area, and they agreed to service us that day. That's not typical. They said, "Are you willing to wait?" Mm-hmm. And we talked about this fire. And what the specialist did 2 hours later, fairly soon, he came down and he showed three different versions of records. And he showed us one completely destroyed, but they had like the first three letters of the name, halfway there and not. In my dad's case, who served in World War II from 41 to 45, they recreated most of his things from Fort Benjamin Harrison and the Army accounting records.
Yes.
But, yeah, as you said, in truth, the 1973 fire, it wasn't the burning of Atlanta. It was one floor of a five-story, very modern building where, as fate would have it, I think the sprinklers were going in the next day or something.
Yeah.
Back to Agent Orange, a little history lesson there. Was that a defoliant, and did you necessarily have to be in combat to be exposed to it over in Vietnam?
So, yes, Agent Orange is the typical name because it was stored in orange bins. The chemical itself was a clear liquid chemical, unlike some movies that are depicted it otherwise. Thank you, Oliver Stone. But anyhow, Agent Orange was a defoliant, which was sprayed throughout most of the Republic of South Vietnam. And it was to take back the jungle and allow for clear fields of fire and for defensible perimeters around base camps and that sort of thing. Its dioxin is the chemical name of it, and dioxin exposure is known to cause several different types of cancer and other problems. Mm-hmm. Now, for many years, due to a lack of scientific evidence and the studies to back things up, the government couldn't just willy-nilly say, yes, your larynx cancer was caused by Agent Orange. But now, as more studies have been done, it really comes down to, based on law, the government presumes that a person who served in Vietnam and who has one of the listed presumptive diseases, it was caused by Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. So that's a big step forward in the processing of claims. Lots of veterans with heart disease, ischemic heart disease is a linked disease to Agent Orange exposure. Another name for ischemic heart disease is coronary artery disease. Diabetes mellitus 2, which I talked about, several different types of cancer, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, other demyelinating type diseases like MS are all linked enough. There's enough evidence, a preponderance of evidence, that Agent Orange at least contributed to them having that. Parkinson's disease is another presumptive illness that a lot of Vietnam veterans at a much higher rate than the normal population. And so there's enough evidence there to say Agent Orange caused this.
On that score, Nate, what are the young veterans? The veterans that are in their 20s and 30s, fresh back, what are they finding out on the job scene, and how can you help, if any, there?
Oh, goodness. You know, it's very interesting to note that our veterans are typically, it's been running at about 7% higher unemployment rate than the average population. And it's a very disconcerting when you think that we have a young man or a young woman who has some of the best training in their job skills around. They can certainly handle stress. And yet, when they come home, the job opportunities for them are very slim. Now, typically, a person would say, well, it's because there aren't very many transferable skills from infantryman or tank driver to you name the job. But believe it or not, those two aren't the MOSs that are having the hardest time finding a job once they get out. It's things like truck driver and combat medic. And now, excuse me, but if a young man can drive a truck through Baghdad, I certainly think he can drive it through South Chicago. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, he might get shot at a little bit more in South Chicago. But
I was going to say, I'll take Baghdad, but go ahead, sir.
There are fewer bombs going off in Baghdad. Anyway, no. These young men and women have been trained in how to use the exact same equipment, and yet there's this difficulty in being able to get licensed from state to state. And so, wow, what's going on here? There are, of course, concerns, a lot of people misunderstanding what post-traumatic stress disorder is or other things. There are some concerns about that, but the reality is that the average veteran today does not have post-traumatic stress disorder. They are not any worse off emotionally than before they deployed and when they redeployed. It's not as common as everyone seems to think it is. But even then, post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anybody. They don't have to be in a war zone. you can get it by living in South Chicago, unfortunately. And yet our veterans have greater access toward care and treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder than anybody else. And so really, the risk in hiring a veteran is very small. This also is a group of people, young men and women, who know what it means to get up on time, be dressed in the right clothing for the day, and and they don't make excuses for showing up late. They show up on time, and they're highly trainable, and they say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It's just ingrained in them. And so, wow, why are they not getting hired? And I think that the number one your listeners can do, the number one thing they can do is, if they're in the position to do so, is just automatically grant an interview. If a veteran applies for a position, just grant them an interview.
Give them a shot.
Just give them a shot. Don't worry about what the resume says. If it doesn't seem like it translates quite right to what you're looking at, don't worry. These people are highly adaptable, very intelligent, ready to roll young men and women. And so just give them an interview, talk to them. Now, I'm not saying 100% of them. You know, there's always the oddball who got who's a veteran only because he didn't get in trouble, barely. But for the most part, you've got a great pool of young men and women to choose from. And just give them an interview. Give them a shot. And so lots of our returning veterans from the current conflicts, as it's been since the 1940s, they're looking to use their GI Bill. They're looking to better themselves. They're all high school graduates, and they're all looking to make their life for themselves or for their children better than it was. You know, the GI Bill, when it first came out, was a very revolutionary concept. And it really, I think it's one of the things that transformed our country at the end of World War II. Yeah, we had the baby boom and all that, but when you take 12 million men, just say men, 12 million man army military, and you give them all the opportunity to go on to college. Can you imagine the increase in ability of our country, the brain power that was tapped into and given a chance to expand? Just phenomenal what the GI Bill did for us as a nation, and it's still doing it today. Giving young men and women who've served our country, who've proven themselves on the field of battle, and now they can prove themselves in the classroom and in industry. And it's a beautiful thing that we still do.
And there are some veterans who, by virtue of not necessarily been assigned many active duty days or whatever, they may not qualify for the whole range of medical benefits, but they definitely should be looking for educational, maybe VA loans.
Yes. So like the VA home loan guarantee is another great program. Again, started after World War II and allowed for home ownership in our country. So every veteran who has served honorably on active duty is eligible for the VA home loan guarantee. Now what the process, they come into our office and we'll help them fill out the appropriate paperwork and we'll send it off to the VA regional office, who will process the request and send back a eligibility certificate. And then they can take that eligibility certificate to any lending institution and work with that lending institution. And what that allows for is there's no need for a down payment on the loan. And it should also help reduce or eliminate the primary mortgage insurance cost as well. So the home loan guarantee is a wonderful program. The VA isn't providing a loan. It's providing a guarantee on a loan that the veteran works out with his or her bank.
And the kind of services we've been talking about available not only here in Walworth County, but Racine, Kenosha in Illinois, Lake McHenry, they all have veteran service offices.
Yes, every county in the United States is serviced by has a veteran services office, or has a veteran service organization like the American Legion or the VFW that can help a veteran. But every county has a veteran services office.
Now, not every county has a hospital. What are our nearby veterans hospitals, and how do they stack up?
All right. So, you know, we just had last year and the year before, we had the VA scandal.
Yes.
Out in Arizona, and then the dual lists of when people were being seen and not being seen, dual waiting lists. And that was a very disturbing event. As a veteran myself and as a person who advocates for veterans, I was, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't say it on air. I wasn't.
That's a true veteran.
I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is the VA did initiate an internal affairs and an internal review to find out what was going on at all the other hospitals. There are three hospitals in Wisconsin. There's also a hospital closely for us here in this southeast region, the North Chicago, the James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center, which is co-located with the Naval Training Center. The Jim Lovell Hospital came through that review rather well. The Zablocki Hospital in Milwaukee did wonderful. The Toma Hospital did just fine as well. The Middleton Hospital in Madison did well for the most part. There was one program where they had a longer waiting list than people who had been waiting longer than the VA's own standards. Now, the good thing is that Middleton never said anything otherwise. They kept reporting, look, we have this backlog. Help us. And so unlike the hospital in Arizona that lied, the hospital administrators in Madison told the truth right along. Yes, we're not meeting the standard, and here's the resources we need to meet that standard.
I was driving between Racine and the Lake Geneva area the other day, and I saw late at night, I think I was either on Highway 11 or County C, and I saw all these veterans' flags and then a veterans' home of some kind. Is this a state facility, and how prevalent are these as you get ready to head into retirement years?
Oh, yes. So you were at the Southeast Wisconsin Veterans Park.
That's right.
Union Grove, which includes the Southeast Wisconsin Cemetery, Union Grove Cemetery, and that's there right there on County Road C, just off Highway 11 in Union Grove. And it has the cemetery, which is a beautiful, beautiful facility. Go there in the spring, summer sometime, and also go there dressed to participate in a funeral. And just in the background, stand and watch and see how the sailors, airmen, Marines, and soldiers there are performing the final military honors for the people being interred there, really for the families of the service members being interred there. It's a great facility. Also there at the Union Grove campus is a clinic. The VA, as in the national VA, runs a clinic there, which is associated with the Zablocki Hospital in Milwaukee. And that also there's also a homeless veterans center. There's a program for veterans who are in between homes or for whatever reason homeless, that there's a single resident occupancy situation for them as a program where the VA helps provide for them getting back on their feet. It's not for a perpetual place to live, but it is for allowing those veterans a bed and a meal and a program to get back to being employed and back to being housed appropriately. And then there's also a nursing home, a veterans home, and that's for those veterans who require assisted living or nursing home care. Now, the nursing home, the veterans homeless shelter, and the cemetery are all state programs, Wisconsin state programs. And most states do have similar type programs. The VA clinic is a Department of Veterans Affairs, Veterans Healthcare System clinic.
A little reporter cynicism that it seems that as we have these various scandals from time to time within the VA, a new secretary is announced or a new head of the VA is announced, and yet problems remain. Does it pretty much come down to wherever there's a human condition, there's going to be problems? And keep your head up, your chin up, and keep going into your local service officer to get the help you need.
You know, it is like that, Jim. It's one thing you find out when you serve in the military for a while. There's an old term, snafu, which we won't define here on the air, but our veterans know what it means. When people are involved, mistakes are made. But that's why we put systems in place to catch those mistakes. And so that's why we meticulously follow the system. I make mistakes every day. You do. Everybody makes a mistake. Hopefully not while you're on the operating table, but everybody makes mistakes. But even there are systems in place. They don't close you up after surgery until they've counted all the instruments to make sure there's nothing sitting inside you. They've counted all the rags to make sure there's no, you know, they're not sewing up a cloth inside your body. There's a system in place to check the common errors. And then when someone goes ahead and circumvents that system, like they did in Arizona, that's scary. Because that system is there to check when there's an error. To Secretary Shinseki's credit, General Shinseki's credit, he has put some very good systems in place. And if his subordinates had followed those systems, there wouldn't have been the problem. To his credit, he accepted responsibility and moved on. And Secretary McDonald, who has taken over, has fired quite a few of those people who didn't follow the system. To his credit, he's taken the authority that Congress gave him and fired those people. I wish they could have been fired a whole lot sooner. But, there are it's an old system. The VA has been in place since after World War I. And a form of the VA has been in place since after the Civil War. And when you have a very large, the second largest department in the federal government with its multitude of regulations and not only the Title 38 of the U.S. Civil Code law, but then all the case law that supports it and then all the manuals that have to be followed and every little regulation, every tit and tittle of the law has to be followed. And so there's a lot of bureaucracy. And to try to reform it overnight doesn't just happen. Mm-hmm. And to General Shinseki, when he became secretary, moved the department forward light years, taking them out of the paper file system into the computer age. I mean, now whenever a veteran submits a claim, it's scanned in. Matter of fact, right up here in Janesville, Wisconsin, the records get scanned into a computer system, the Veterans Benefits Management System, the VBMS computer system, and it can be accessed throughout the country at each regional office, such as the Milwaukee Regional Office or the San Antonio Regional Office or the Salt Lake City Regional Office. And so experts in each location can seamlessly review these files without having to worry about UPS or FedEx or USPS receipts. It's all there, an electronic file, and it makes the process a lot faster.
So, Nate, what was your service experience, and how did you end up as the Veteran Service Specialist here in Walworth County?
That's a big question. I served for 24 years, 10 months, and 7 days, and probably a couple hours on top of that. I tell people I joined for the money. It's not true exactly. I was a young kid in New Hampshire shoveling cow manure and decided that I wanted to be all I could be instead. And had a high school guidance counselor who was like, "You're going to college." And I said, I'd love to go to college. I just don't have any money. He's like, "Oh, I got money for you." And he put me in his car and drove me down to the recruiting station. And I joined the Army Reserve. And I served 5 years in the United States Army Reserve while I was going to college at the University of New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. I was activated for Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and had a very lovely, missed a semester of school for a lovely little vacation with the Army. And but that deployment, that time off from school and with the Army made me really realize that this is worth doing, and it's not for the money. You know, there are men and women that I served with, and it's hard to explain if you haven't been there. If you haven't served in the military, you really just don't know. And you know what I'm talking about, Jim. I wish I could explain it to your listeners better, because there's a certain camaraderie. There's a certain sense of it's not about me. And I think a lot of folks in America these days could really get a hold of that vision and understanding that it's not about me. As John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And I really wish that more people in our nation today saw that as the standard. And most of the people who have served in the military do see that as the standard. Yeah, it's more than about just me. It's about the common good. Mm-hmm. And what I do affects other people. My failures have an impact on others, and my successes have an impact on others. And so wouldn't I much rather have positive impacts on people? And so that the understanding that what I'm doing in my own part of it is important to the bigger picture. I might not ever understand how my actions play out in the bigger scheme of things, but I know they're important, or I wouldn't have been given the job. So I learned that over 24 years, 10 months, and 7 days of service.
Combat artilleryman and public affairs?
Well, I started out as a combat engineer, actually. Combat engineers are infantrymen who carry explosives.
Back away a little here.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I have all my fingers and most of my toes.
All right, that's very encouraging.
But I spent the first 15 years of my career doing combat engineers type stuff, and then I moved into the public relations field, public affairs, and that was a great, I had a really pleasant career. I had some really great leaders, and I had some phenomenal soldiers and non-commissioned officers working for me. I was really, truly a blessed man for that time in the Army.
And when you retired as a lieutenant colonel, like so many of your generation, you were not an old man, not a young man. You can't necessarily walk straight up to the local McDonald's or Burger King and say, I'm ready to start. You're looking for a mid-career opportunity, and yet here is one, I think, where you could ultimately continue fulfilling the mission you started, working in veteran services for the county.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal opportunity. I'll tell you, when I first got out, I was facing that same situation a lot of other veterans are, is where are all those jobs they told me I was going to be able to get? And there were many opportunities. But in the current economy, I don't know if you've noticed this. I'm sure some of your listeners have. They want somebody who's got the experience of a 50-year-old with the time of a 30-year-old, but for the paycheck of a 20-year-old.
I think that sums it up perfect.
And I've got the experience of almost 50-year-old. I don't have the time, but I need sleep these days, man. I need sleep.
Right.
And you know what? I need a little bit more money than the average 20-year-old. I'm married. I have kids. I've got a house. I've got responsibilities. And so there were many places that I sent my resume to. I got the call for an interview. I got the call back for the second interview. We got into the salary negotiations, and everything fell apart. And a lot of that is, what's my time worth as a retired lieutenant colonel with degrees and with experience and with anyhow. But then when this opportunity came up to work at the county, even though it's only part-time, even though it's not the great salary, even doesn't have any of the benefits, wow, I couldn't pass it up. The opportunity to continue to serve my country by serving the men and women who put their lives on the line for it, and the chance to have a job where I can come home and be at home every afternoon when my kids get home from school and help out Mrs. Bond with stuff around the house as much as she lets me. Mm-hmm. When I wasn't working the 4 hours a day, I was helping with the laundry and the dishes, and she made me stop. I guess I was qualified to do many things in the Army. One of them was not wash sweaters, and lots of broken dishes too. Having this job at the county is a true blessing as well.
Some of the things that you're able to help people with now is the Wisconsin new property tax credit. That's something
yes.
You want to make sure they know about.
I definitely wanted to make sure your listeners know that. First of all, let me preface this by saying Wisconsin, the people of Wisconsin, are very generous toward their veterans. This is a very generous state, and I'm so thankful what's gone on, Governor Walker's administration, and even beforehand, a couple of wonderful benefits. But one that I really want to focus on right now is because it's been a major change recently, is the property tax credit, the veterans and spouses property tax credit. Now, in the past, it was only available to veterans who had 100% service-connected disability. And then it was available to spouses of veterans who died who had a 100% service-connected disability. And now, recent expansion, starting this year with this tax year, the spouse of a veteran who died of a service-connected disability who is in receipt of the dependency indemnity compensation from the VA can get property tax credit. Now, the property tax credit is basically an eligible person will pay their property tax at their village or at the county, and then when they file their state income tax on Form 1 or Form 1A, they'll include the Wisconsin certification saying that they are eligible for this credit, and then the state will credit them the cost of their property taxes. So you pay your property tax first. You got to pay your property tax, but then the generous people of the state of Wisconsin will return that money. Wonderful program. So just to clarify now, that's a veteran who died of a service-connected disability. So for instance, a lot of our Vietnam veterans who have come down with type 2 diabetes, quite often type 2 diabetes is a significant contributing factor to their death. And if that's on the death certificate, and then we can claim dependency and indemnity compensation from the VA for the spouse. When the VA approves that, then that spouse now becomes eligible for the property tax credit.
In the 2 minutes we have left, there's also the VA health care access card that has some changes involved.
Yes. Oh, wow. 2 minutes. Well, the basic thing that the average veteran should know is it's not an insurance card, and they really can't use it for much except when the VA says, sorry, we can't see you within the time frame that we need to be able to see you in. Your doctor says you need to be seen in 20 days, and we can't get you in for 30 days. At that point, they can take their card to a civilian hospital and be seen. And so, but again, that's in around here, it's really, we have several VA hospitals right around the area, so I don't foresee very many, if any, of our veterans here in Walworth County, Racine, or Kenosha, anywhere in southeastern Wisconsin, being able to use that card. But in some places in the country, that card will play out.
And finally, in seeing that your veteran family member is properly buried, whether it be from World War II or more recent experiences in the service, get to your local Walworth, your local county agent, right?
And yes, right away. Make sure that we have the veteran's DD Form 214. Again, that's the ticket to all benefits. And then we can coordinate getting the Presidential Memorial Certificate, a burial flag, a headstone, a marker, and a funeral honors detail, either from the state of Wisconsin, the federal government, or from your local American Legion post. I had the honors this last weekend of being part of the funeral honors detail for a World War II veteran who happened to be a member of my post as well.
Lieutenant Colonel Nate Bond, thank you for your service in the service. Thank you for your service to veterans, and welcome back to Community Matters. Hope to see you again soon.
That would be great, Jim. We've got to come up with another topic to do together. Love seeing you, and I love being able to talk to your listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate. You've been listening to Community Matters on WGTD. I'm Jim McClure. Have a good, great, and prosperous afternoon.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
...24/7 jazz on WGTD HD2. Jazz, swing, blues, bop, and more, airing right now on HD2. For more information, go to WGTD.org or dial 564-3030.
WGTD broadcasts from studios located on the Kenosha campus of Gateway Technical College. In Kenosha and Racine, WGTD is heard at 91.1 FM, Elkhorn at 101.7, Lake Geneva 103.3, and around the world at WGTD.com.